Second and goal, 17 seconds. Freeman on the rollout. Freeman throws. Touchdown, Cadillac Williams.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, DJ E2. Please stand up and give a warm round of applause for your host.
Yeah, what the fuck got next? Doing it big in 2000 in a net fan. Spinning out season, y'all forget 10. We got the best show on the net, and we gonna bring it to you live. B&U stream at Thursday night. Old school and Doc always keeping it tight. If you got an email, fit, tell them where to write. Shouts to the chat room. If you on the podcast, shout to you too. We gon' do what we do. About to win it all like we did in 02. Now that's Buccaneer football, yeah. Hey, you know what? Hey, old school, why don't we go ahead and start this show up? You did?
All right, E2. We need a new intro, E2. If you still listen to the show, my brother, you need to come through for me. We need to get something going. Welcome to the broadcast. I am Old School, coming to you live from Studio 76, back home in the safe confines of Valrico, Florida. As you can tell by the sloppy poker room decor back there. Hopefully technology will keep up with us today. We had some huge steps forward, which was outstanding, I thought, with regards to using technology when I was abroad, and hopefully that will bode well for us moving forward for the broadcast as I do wander around from time to time. So, again, welcome to the show tonight. I know we're kicking off right on time. I can't really tell. It's funny. When it comes to Bucks fans, and even the amazingly diligent fans that we have here in the What the Buck family, Spent and I have not been able to figure out what the pattern is with regards to when people are going to be here and when people aren't. Sometimes you think on a winning streak you're going to have a large crowd. Sometimes you think it's going to be on a losing streak. It seems like either end of the extreme drives large attendance. What is the worst thing for anything like this is apathy. And while I'm hearing a lot of vitriol on the radio stations and I'm seeing a lot of anger spit on Twitter, the more concerning issue probably is that the Bucks have once again lost the hearts and minds of the fans who were on the fence. It's almost like watching the political situation we had back here in November, right? Everyone was going after the swing voters, the people who were undecided. And really, that's what the Bucks are trying to do, is they're trying to win the folks that are undecided. Are they going to hitch their wagon to the Bucks, or are they going to say, fuck it, we're going to go with, who knows, the Cowboys or whoever else? And that's a battle I just don't know that you can win. But we know where we lie, and where we lied or laid or whatever the correct tense is this weekend was on the ground after getting our teeth kicked in by the New Orleans Saints. We have Shiphead Superfan out there who was live in attendance in Nolens, where I normally am, and I certainly am jealous that I was not there this time. But you know what? Sometimes you're the hammer and sometimes you're the nail. We've said it before. The interesting part is this year we haven't had to say it during the regular season. And one of the things I mentioned, I think, on Twitter or on Facebook, I can't remember exactly where I mentioned it, was every year that, or every game this year that we went back to the tailgate after a loss, right? Or when we were talking about a game after a loss that was an away game, what I kept hearing was, oh man, these tough one score losses. These are too much. I'd almost rather get blown out. One thing that I do hope is the case is that after this experience, that shit is done. Because having lived through blowouts before, I knew what my thought was on that question, that query. And to be honest, the answer is blowouts suck. There's nothing you can take from them. It's even rare that you can go back and get good film from them. They are usually a concert of crap. It is rarely one person's fault, though tonight we will certainly be talking about Josh Freeman, who is bearing the brunt of the blame, though Coach Ciano and some of the coaching staff are bearing some of the blame if you listen to local radio as well. But realistically, when you get your teeth kicked in as soundly as we did this week in New Orleans, it is a systemic breakdown. And that cues all of the normal sky is falling shit around the team giving up. And, oh, my God, we're right where we thought we were, and so on and so forth. Now, we'll talk about that. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about Josh Freeman. We'll talk about the defense. We'll talk about pretty much anything you guys want to talk about. The reality of the situation is this week is kind of interesting. We have Vincent Jackson's Jackson in Action event tomorrow night at McDinton's. That's on Howard Avenue in Tampa. It starts at 5. It goes from 5 to 7. I've got the details right here. I want to remind you of them. And we'll remind you. I see Spence rebooting again. We'll remind you of these details throughout the evening. If you want to come out and hang out with us, the What the Buck crew is going to be there. We'll have our signage out there. Chris Sweeney and the crew at McDen's have always been very good to us. And from what he says, Vincent is very, very tied into this Jackson Action Foundation, which supports the families of military folks who are deployed through helping their kids and their families back here while they're abroad. The suggested donation of $15, each participant will receive two complimentary cocktails of Stoli Vodka or Sierra Nevada Draft, all proceeds to benefit the Jackson Action Foundation. And it is a registered 501c3 foundation benefiting military families. So if you want to come out there, it is right there in the heart of South Howard. We will be out there from 5 to 7. Realistically, I will probably be out there closer to 4, looking for an excuse to get the hell out of Dodge, to go out there and have a good time and have a couple of beverages with some of the folks that support the Bucks like I do. So that is that. I want to thank everyone who came out to the watch party this week. We had a great time out at Quaker Steak and Lube. This was my first, and no, that's not a misspeak. This is, in fact, the name of a wing joint over in Largo, and the food was outstanding. Miller was there, and Miller is going to be helping us out, it looks like. They're going to be at our tailgate next week, and we're going to be talking to them, hopefully, about some more significant involvement for next year's tailgates. They seem very open to that, and I'm certainly very open to it, as I know is the whole crew. The nice thing was that, once again, and, you know, I'm glad Spence back in here. I think she's back in here. I'm not sure if she is or not. I'm not sure if her user disappeared when she did her reboot, but the funny part to me is this was a sponsored, sanctioned watch party, and realistically, I would say, and B Sizzle, you were there. I mean, who else in the chat room was there? I'm not sure who else in the chat room was there other than Spent and Sizzle and myself. But I would say we probably made up 80% of the crowd. I mean, we had a big crowd there. It was good. We had the Buck Wild Boys out there. We had a whole crew. It was us and KBR from what I saw, exactly. So that was interesting to see. So, Buck for Life, are you there? I'm sorry, I don't know handles, and the little pictures are too small, so don't give me bad looks and stuff if I can't tell right off the bat. I apologize if that's the case. Not my intention. At any rate, okay, you weren't there, I got you. It was a good event, but it was a good event because we were there with people that we liked. A reminder, at about 9:15, Lee DeCamper from JoeBucksFan.com is going to be calling in. You guys have heard me speak with Lee. I've done terrestrial radio with Lee as well. Obviously, Joe Bucks Fan is one of the more influential blogs here in Tampa Bay. They're also a regular participant on both 620 and on 98.7 The Fan. And I want to get his take on a couple of things. He's been writing extensively about some of these issues that are hot buttons for us right now. I thought it'd be good to pull him in and get some of his unfiltered feed on some of these topics and get your feed on what he's talking about. If you guys haven't read those articles, I'd run over to JoeBucksFan.com and take a look. We'll talk about everything from the Brian Cox-Adam Hayward altercation to Josh Freeman and to PJ Fleck's departure, which is probably the breaking news we should talk about as well. It was announced that PJ Fleck has been pried away from the Buccaneers, or will be pried away from the Buccaneers at the end of the season. Going to coach in the college ranks to go to Western Michigan. Now, if you'll recall, when we got PJ Fleck, he had just taken a job, I believe, as a receivers coach or offensive coordinator. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he was pried back by Coach Shiano. We're going to open this up, I think, and I've got a bunch of data about Josh, and you guys know, I mean, I don't make any apologies for my position on Josh Freeman. There were four interceptions yesterday, and I think two of them were on Josh. At the end of the day, he's going to get all four of them, right? They're going to go on to his record. But I think it's interesting to see, and I certainly am guilty of this too, I'm sure, and if anyone could call me out on this legitimately, it would be Calico Jack, and I would absolutely defer if he did. I would debate, but I would probably end up deferring because he's very good with his data. We use data to back our positions most of the time. I'd love to say I was as impartial as I'd like to think I am, but I clearly have a vested interest in Josh Freeman. I like the kid. I like what he's got from a skill set. I like what he's got from a work ethic perspective. And I told Lee this beforehand. We'll talk about it when he's on the air. I don't think that I know of another quarterback that we've had that had the combination of talent and work ethic and upside potential that Josh Freeman has. Now, that being said, potential, as we've said before, simply means you haven't done shit yet. What's interesting, though, is that that's not the case with Josh, and this is the part that's vexing for me, and maybe you guys can help me out, and maybe Lee will be able to help me out when he comes on with JoeBucksFan.com. The kid has done shit. The thing that we don't have are the wins and losses that go along with it. That stat isn't where it needs to be, right? And so you end up finding the stats that back your position. I know that Big Dog, once again, against the terms and conditions of Pro Football Focus, posted their summary stats. You guys may have seen this. Let me pull up the screen so I can see. I don't know. I think the drink word is the tonight, which is trouble. That's the screen that he shared. And I'm actually allowed to do this because you guys can't actually see anything. And we're allowed as broadcasters, especially ones who pay for it, to use the data and talk about it. So that was the stat that was put up there. The discussion points that have been brought up, and I don't want to jump too much into this because I want to talk about this with Lee on the radio, and I want to talk to you guys about it too if you want to interact after Lee calls in and we have our conversation. Josh's accuracy has been called into question repeatedly. His accuracy in short to intermediate routes has been the latest piece of pseudo-data that people have been parroting on every show, from the good shows to the bad shows. It really doesn't seem to matter. Everyone is just parroting the same fucking talk lines, right? And then his up and down performances with the wins and losses. So we'll talk about that. I want to announce a couple of other things while we're doing this. My drink of the evening is hold on, I actually got this. I figured I'd go seasonal. I'm gonna go with a little eggnog tonight. A little spiked eggnog. I will not be drinking every time I say the, because that's just a ludicrous drink word. I don't know who came up. Joseph B, I think, came up with that one. That's nuts. Now, eggnog is not necessarily... It is not. It's just a traditional eggnog, no pumpkin spice, but I've got it spiked with rum. No, TG Lee did not pick us up. But look at that Santa. Can you deny that Santa? That's like the best Santa eggnog ever. Come on. At any rate, we're going to talk about that. I don't want to do too much of it. I'm going to wait till Lee gets on before we start digging into that, because I think it'll be a much more interesting conversation if there's two of us. Let's hit my highs and lows real quick. We talked about Vincent Jackson's event. I know that Spent will be there. I know there'll be other tape over the logo. Yeah, like in the old shows. I don't have any tape. Shit. Here. There we go. My highs and lows. First of all, I've got three sections to this entry point. Normally, I've got the holy shit section, the highs, and the lows. The holy shit is So Do You Like a Blowout Better, which I opened up with in the sort of monologue. Next, Everyone Hates Josh. If you follow Twitter, like I made the comment in the chatters group on Facebook, that I was more annoyed with Twitter than I was with the game. And Skip Brown, who I like quite a bit, was confused by that. And the fact is, you know, guys, I know that I can be animated. I know I can be stern, all of those sorts of things. But I really do respect everyone's opinion. I felt bad. I mentioned this last week with Bucktastic, right? It's interesting. The reason I've been doing this for however many years, seven or whatever it is, a dick. Yes, a dick. That's right, Calico Jack. Thank you. It's because I do care, and I am passionate about it. I do have opinions and these sorts of things. Because if you just want data spit at you, you can go get that from any of a number of hacks that are out there right now. And then you can get some pseudo-data from the same hacks. Right? You're never going to wonder where I actually stand up. Yikes says it's the first Bucks game you ever turned off. I can't do that. That's like, and the great folks we had at the thing wanted to do a group picture, and I'm like, yeah, I can't. I'm not going to interrupt watching the game. I don't care if it's 82 to nothing. Right? But at any rate, this is a passion thing, right? So if you guys want to talk about the things if you guys think Josh is the worst thing to happen to the Bucks since Jack Thompson, all right, let's have that conversation. I am astonished that once again, people were calling for Dan Orlovsky. Again, a guy that I like as a backup, but I made the comment the only reason he should go in the game is if Josh is wheeled off on a fucking stretcher. Now, Josh's pride was injured pretty significantly this week, and maybe that was off on a stretcher, and at that point, I don't know that it made much sense to leave him in there to potentially get hurt. We've talked about it before. The most popular guy in any town that's losing, has a losing team, is the backup quarterback. My highs, no injuries that I've heard of, and it still only counts as one loss. Whether you lose by one or you lose by 41, one loss. Now, it doesn't matter at all to us because we're out of the playoff picture because we donked off other games. Right? That's the thing. I think Sizzle said this earlier, we are who we thought we were. We all thought we would hover around 500. Some of us were more optimistic, like myself. I thought we'd end up 10-6. Some of us were less optimistic. Right? this team, I think, overperformed. I think they have come far further than I expected them to come, especially given the amount of injuries to key positions that we've had, as well as the other detractions, starting corners, etc. That notwithstanding, yesterday sucked nuts. Right? Lowe's, offense was shit, the defense was shit, the coaching was shit, and in my opinion, some of the fans were shit. And yeah, I'll say that. Because I've lived through the Jack Thompsons, I've lived through the hell. Every quarterback that we've had, right, with the exception probably of Steve Young and Doug Williams, and then Brad Johnson. And so we've got a young guy who, by all outward appearances, works his ass off, has got all the fundamentals, and we're ready to say, nah, fuck it, let's roll the dice, see what we can get in the draft. No, let's bring Alex Smith in here. Because this poor son of a bitch doesn't do anything but win in San Francisco, and they're starting another guy who hasn't proven shit. This is how this league works, guys. This is the damn magic eight ball that we're doing. And yeah, that's a fair point. I didn't dislike Jeff Garcia, but from a talent perspective, he was, again, he was playing so far out over his skis, it's like Doug Flutie in there. Right, I mean, he made a lot happen with what he has. Hell, Steve DeBerg made a lot happen with what he had physically, right? I don't mean to cast aspersions on these guys as they're not talented, because they are. I've mentioned it before. When we talk about guys that play at the professional level, they are so much better than anything we can actually comprehend, right? Unless you've actually played at that level, you just don't realize it, right? But by comparison is what I mean. That's the caveat that I normally throw in there. But it is amazing to me that this is going on. And I don't know why I'm amazed. It seems like I'm constantly amazed by this, and maybe I will be forever. So, those were the things. I want to remind you guys, get your swords and skulls in there. I looked at the swords and skulls earlier, and there's a lot of humorous comments, so not a lot of swords and skulls for the actual game. So, we'll see. I'm going to check my text messages, make sure that that's not Lee. Yeah, it is Lee. I thought Spent was going to reach out to him. Spent, dear. Maybe he hasn't checked his email. No big deal. She's having computer problems anyway. I just texted him the number, so Lee will be calling in here directly. But the funny part is, anytime you start having these losses, we see that flip-flop, right? When we were winning, when the offense was firing on all cylinders, people couldn't talk enough about Coach Sheridan and Josh Freeman and what's going on with all these weapons, and oh my God, who can possibly stop them? And just imagine when Josh can get past three reads, and holy crap, I mean, we were all just completely cockstrong about this. Then we have some losses happen, all of a sudden all hell breaks loose, and the guy, you know, we're ready to chase him out of town in the middle of the night. So, this is the fickle nature that is football, right? We got people calling for Andrew Luck. We'll talk about Andrew Luck. People calling for RG3. Now, people were calling for Cam Newton, and I don't know that they're calling for him anymore, except for, oh wait, the last 2 weeks he played well, so yeah, they're calling for him again. They'll just ignore the whole first part of the year where he sucked nuts. Welcome to What the Buck. Is this Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
All right, man.
All right. Welcome to the show. This is Lee DeCamper, one of the Joes from Joe Buck's Fan. You guys know him and know him well. Lee, I want to thank you for calling in. I know you're recovering from the same cold that's been taking us all out, and so I'll apologize to our listeners as well. His voice will be a little bit jacked up, but I was able to understand him on a cell phone today, and so if that works, then I'll assume the Internet works.
Okay, hope so.
Anyway, I want to jump right into it. You guys have an amazingly large readership, Lee, and it's, you know, in no small part due to the amount of articles you guys are able to put out there and the content you put out there, but it also gives you a good barometer for Bucks fans. And right now, I'm kind of annoyed by them, so I want to get a feeling from you on the state of the Bucks fandom as a whole based on your comments.
Well, I like to joke in various articles that Bucks fans always have to have someone to hate. At one point, it was Gerald McCoy. At one point, it was Rick Neame, although that was well admitted, or it was well thought out, of course. Jim Bates, of course, that was also well deserved. Myron Lewis is always despised. So right now, the ire of Bucks fans, without question, is Josh Freeman. And I've been trying to defend Josh Freeman for quite some time, but of late, it's getting hard to do because he's really deteriorated the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'd say the last 4 weeks. And right now, it's really hard to defend him because, I mean, his completion percentage is 54%, which places him, I think, 34th among NFL quarterbacks.
You know, I heard the commish talking about that today, and you know, I've got a lot of respect for the commish in general. Not a huge fan of the diatribe from this week, but that's okay. It happens, right? And, you know, cockstrong individuals are going to have opinion differentials, right? But if you look at Josh's QB rating, it certainly has taken a dip, and this week being the dippiest of all the dips. But the dip started in week 10. Up to that point, he had been pretty spectacular. The completion percentage is really interesting, and I want to ask you, and it's funny because I've got questions that I write down, but when you and I talk, Lee, I end up going all off script, so screw it. One of the catchphrases I've heard, and I think that it started, it may have started with Kamish, because Kamish usually has his stuff together, right? It's the beef has been on the short to intermediate routes, right? And so now everyone and their brothers picked up on Josh can't throw the short to intermediate route. What's your perception of that? What are your thoughts around that? What do you think the problem is with Josh, right? The passing QB rating is one thing. Touchdowns to interceptions are another. It seems like people pick the stat that backs their position. What's the stat that's got you fired up about it?
It's the completion percentage. That really troubles me. And some of the decision-making. I'm going to try to defend Josh. I think Josh is going to be the starter next year. I think he's going to be the starter next year. And I wouldn't be shocked if Dominic resigns. Of course, every time Freeman screws up, the price gets lower and lower, and also enhances the opportunity that Michael Bennett will stay with the Bucs, by the way. So there's a silver lining of Freeman's troubles. The completion percentage really troubles me, but it really shouldn't shock people because that was the knock on Freeman coming out of college. And what's throwing me off is decision-making. I'll give you an example. The Atlanta game, Freeman got rattled. That's another thing. He always gets rattled so easily by pressure. And he got rattled. There was pressure on him. So he dumps off a pass to DJ Ware, who was covered like a blanket, 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Now, to be fair, Wittershire dropped the ball, but he caught the ball and he tackled immediately for a 7 yard loss. Comes into the press box and says, "Why didn't you throw that ball away, Josh?" And, you know, simple stuff like that that college kids would know. Why is it, there's just something going on between Enzo Freeman. I don't know if it's confused with the offensive strategy. I don't know if it's confused with the defenses. I don't know what's going on, but I'm struggling, and like other Bucs fans, I'm struggling to grasp the reason why Josh is struggling so much, especially last 4 weeks. Because let's be honest, we can all point to it about the pass defense, and it's abysmal. But even with that abysmal pass defense, last 4 weeks, if Josh plays above average, I'm not talking Tom Brady. I'm talking above average. The Bucs are still in the playoff hunt. It's not in the bye already. And that's why I think it has people so hacked off that if Freeman would just played above average, the Bucs would be in good shape. And he did not, and that's why the Bucs lost.
You know, it's interesting, Lee, and we'd have to go back and go game by game because there were games where Josh Freeman kept us in the game. And it seems as though when I mentioned this with regards to the short-sighted nature of sports fans, and it probably transcends sports, but that's what we're talking about tonight. We only really remember the last couple of weeks, right? We seem to forget the times when a miraculous throw or more than one, a late-minute drive, a fourth-quarter comeback kept us in games. And when I look at some of the things on the field, like the completion percentage, and it's hard to argue with the aggregate completion percentage, but when you pull the short to intermediate, what I did was, you know the graphic I talked to you about on the website from Pro Football Focus? So I went and I pulled those same graphics for three other quarterbacks, right? I tried to get sort of top middle row, right? So I've got the two that everyone says right now as Tampa fans, well, damn, just look at Luck and look at RG3. Why don't we have one of those guys? The same way last year they were bitching that we should have Cam Newton. And now no one in their right mind is saying that, right? Mm-hmm. And I got Matty Ice, too, because I figure he's a pretty good middle-of-the-road, top, upper-middle guy. I didn't want to get a Peyton Manning who's a curve buster, right? So RG3, who, according to Pro Football Focus, might actually be the second coming of the Messiah. This guy's scores are ridiculous, right? I mean, I'm talking about the differential here. His aggregate score is a 35.8 on Pro Football Focus compared to Matt Ryan. I guess Matt Ryan is, too. He's 37. But Luck is a 6.7, right? On short and intermediate routes, he's 82% and Josh is 76%.
Wow.
So what's interesting is anecdotal data that just sort of gets a life of its own and then festers like a fucking virus. And it's just amazing to me. Now, that being said, your point is a good one about decision-making. This has been one of the issues, and you're right as well. Coming out of college, one of the concerns was absolutely Josh's accuracy. He was a big-arm quarterback, and people wondered, especially coming to a team that could that was running the West Coast offense, is this even a fit? I mean, we knew what Voldemort was going to run. It was a variation of Chucky's offense. Eventually, I mean, I know we had the BC experiment that went awry, but at any rate, the decision making is interesting. Now, remember back earlier in the year when we had some problems with Josh, and then things started to get on track, and Coach Sheridan explained read routes and the relation between the receiver and the quarterback. You guys are in the locker room. What are you hearing from the coaches and the other players about how much of this rests on Josh's shoulders, even though he knows he has to bear it all, and how much is it a collective issue?
Well, Shanna obviously says it's a collective issue. I mean, he goes to great pains to say it's a collective issue. And I think one of his favorite quotes is, a starting quarterback always gets too much credit and always gets too much blame for a loss. And there's some accuracy to that. There's some relevancy to that. But the receivers, they stick up for Freeman. Absolutely, they stick up for Freeman. I just heard Mike Williams tonight on his radio show. He was just saying, hey, this guy works the tail off. He goes, and I'm quoting directly from Mike Williams, it sounds like a cliche, but he is literally the last guy out of the locker room. He leaves the building when the coaches leave at 10 o'clock. And so the receivers are absolutely behind Josh Freeman 110%. Now, I do know that Freeman, the secret that my co-partner in crime, Joe Bucks fan, he had an interview with Freeman this past summer. And Freeman mentioned there's an element of the run and shoot, a little bit, not much, but a little bit, in the Bucks offense, whereas receivers can freelance a little bit. In other words, run to daylight, sort of like what Lombardi had his running backs do, which was revolutionary at the time in the 60s. Run to daylight, which otherwise is known as freelancing. And maybe that's where this miscommunication thing talks about, is where it comes up. It is troubling me, and I hope to talk to Coach Sullivan later this week at his press conference. It's troubling to me how there could be so much miscommunication in the 15th week of the season. That's troubling.
You know, that's an interesting point, right? And early in the season, we kind of got it. New offense and something that does have that amount of freelancing. And for those of you who don't, and we've talked about this a little bit, guys out there, for those of you who don't remember, a read route or an option route for a receiver essentially means that they're going to have an option usually for three different tails to a route based on what they see from coverage. And so, like, in the event, I am going to conjecture here, folks, and it's my show, so I can do that shit. So Vincent Jackson lines up in the slot yesterday, and before the play, I'm looking at this. I've seen this route before. This is a play that we typically run to what's called a skinny post. He's going to run about 10 yards down the field, somewhere close to where the chains are. He's going to break it towards the post, and Freeman's hit him probably six times this year on this route. He runs that route, and instead of breaking it to the post, he drifts into the end zone almost like it's a go, and Josh throws it where you'd expect to be broken off. It gets picked off. It looks like Josh is an idiot. Now, whose fault was that? I don't know. And Lee brings up a great point. If they can freelance in week four, like, I can get them not having this shit together. Week 15, we have a different question.
Yeah, so, exactly. Why is this? You know, I don't know about the coaching issue, preparation issue. I'm not sure, but that is troubling. The week 15, there shouldn't be miscommunication issues unless you're adding so much to the playbook every week. That's a different animal. And I hope to talk to Coach Sullivan. He's available once a week to the media. And I rarely ever talk to him because he's at the same time as the open locker room, and I'd rather talk to the players. I just watch the video of Sullivan later on BuckingHills.com. But this time I hope to ask him that question. Maybe that can shed some light on why there's so much miscommunication. But there's another reason why Bucks fans have turned on Freeman right now. It's no fault of Freeman. It's actually what am I thinking of here now? It's actually pinning Freeman in the corner. It just so happens there's four rookies out there, some of them middle round picks, that are playing better than Freeman. And fans see that. Like, why can't Freeman be doing like these guys? You know, for example, Russell Wilson. For example, Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins in Washington. Obviously RG3, but let's be honest, he's a high first round pick. They see guys like that. How Tannehill is even playing better than Freeman. Well, of course, that was the first round pick, too. People are looking at some of these middle round picks like Wilson and Cousins, and they're saying, hey, Freeman was a first round pick. Why isn't he playing as well as these guys? And again, this is no fault of Freeman's. It's a victim of circumstance, like Curly Howard would say. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, it doesn't matter if it's 25th pick or the 5th pick, there's a connotation, first round pick quarterback, that this guy, at times, is going to be able to put the team on his back and carry the team. But thus far, Freeman really hasn't shown an ability to do that. Now, whether he can develop into that or not, I don't know. But when you got rookies out there like Cousins and Russell Wilson, Then we'll draft again, first, fourth round picks. And they're all signed Freeman. This Freeman's picking the circumstance. Fans see that, and they immediately go after Freeman, like, hey, this guy is picked farther down the dog trail than you. Why aren't you playing as good as this guy? You had 4 years. This guy's still got, he's got behind years. Why are you not playing as good as him? And again, that's no fault of Freeman's. That's people pigeonholing Freeman, Specifically.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, how many starts does Cousins have?
Two, I think.
I mean,
maybe one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We've seen a lot of guys come in for one game, Polish pistol, and look like a hero, right? It's funny because, like you mentioned, a number of quarterbacks are playing well, but as Bucks fans, I would venture to guess we see a lot more of Josh Freeman than we see of Ryan Tannehill. I suspect we see a lot more of him than Eugene Wilson, and Wilson looks tremendous, don't get me wrong, right? But I agree. I think it's interesting that we look at the stats on the back end and we say, well, why doesn't he do more of this? And we don't look at the fact that, what is he, 25-12 TDs to interceptions at this point, even after the bullshit he threw up Sunday?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Right? And it's just, it's astonishing to me the way this is happening. Now, that being said, I want to transition a little bit off of Josh and go back into the media, because I look at you, Joe, as kind of an interesting hybrid. I used to try and claim that I'm a hybrid, but I'm not. I try to be legit, and I just can't. You are actually a legitimate journalist, and you do a good job with the blogging site, which is sometimes a really tough line to walk. There were two things that were amazingly TMZ-like that happened recently, right? And I want to get your take on both of them, because you kind of can wear that hat really well. Brian Cox and Adam Hayward, I want to get your take on it before I give mine.
Well, I had nothing with Hayward until yesterday. Whatever happened between the two, you cannot put your hands on a coach and shove him, especially a guy like Brian Cox, who's got credibility as a player, and it sure looks like he's got credibility as a coach. It wasn't on national TV, but of course national TV picked it up. Hayward has to be punished publicly, whether it's a suspension, a fine, something. Now, this happened, and I wrote this morning on JoeBuckStand.com. If this happened in the locker room or happened in the closed practice where nobody else thought the teammates, then it's a private issue. This happened in public. It's one thing for players and coaches to scream at each other. We see that all the time. That's really no big deal. In the heat of the battle, things like that happen. We've seen it with Jay Cutler. Bring the one around. We saw it with Chucky and Keyshawn Johnson. And they later won a Super Bowl later that season that they had a blow up on the sidelines. But to actually physically shove a coach and then go after him again and have to be separated and everything's okay, fine and dandy, not only is that bad from an image standpoint, that basically opened the door for other players, like, hey, if he doesn't respect him, I could do this in my position, coach. I could stay because he's throwing him around too. Big deal. And Hayward is a backup. Yes, he's starting now only because of injury. He's a captain on top of that. That's wrong. I'm sorry, that's wrong. He needs to be punished in some way, whether it's a fine, a suspension. It's outrageous to do that. You cannot do that to a coach. I mean, my gosh, who was the nutcase in the NBA that shook PJ Carlisimo? Yes, Hayward didn't shook Cox. But if they didn't get any people to you guys, what would happen? And, just from a decorum of authority, you cannot allow on TV, on his game, on the side, on just a guy to go after a coach. That's as wrong can be.
You know, it's interesting. I read your article, and that's why I kind of wanted to ask this question. And I wasn't sure whether it was you or Steve who wrote it, because you guys do a good job of mimicking voice, so it's tough to tell sometimes. It's very interesting, though, this Adam Hayward thing, because you guys know, and the listeners out here know, I go by the moniker Old School. Generally speaking, if a player put his hand on me, he'd be removing my foot from his ass. that being said, having known Adam Hayward for quite some time, this was so out of character for him. Now, I've watched Adam Hayward. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago in training camp, when Kellen Winslow was still with the squad and still thought that it was important to throw fists at a DB who had a pass breakup in training camp. I watched Adam Hayward rip Kellen Winslow off of the rookie by the face mask. I don't know what he said to Kellen Winslow, but he didn't throw any fists. He said something to Kellen Winslow. Kellen calmed down, went over, and apologized to the rookie. This is a leader, not just in word, but in deed. He's also a hell of a good guy. I'm not sure exactly what happened on that sideline, but given reputation for reputation, I'm going to say Adam Hayward was probably right in what he was trying to get across. That being said, the method was wrong. Whether it got picked up by cameras or not, Joe, you know as well as I do, you couldn't predict that. Cameras are always on. The eye in the sky, like Sapp used to say, right?
Good point.
In the heat of the moment, These are two competitors. Brian Cox probably still wants to put a damn helmet on, right, which is fine. I like that fire. But, you know, if this were some knucklehead, it's one thing. But this is a guy who, by all outward appearances and by some inward appearances, is a hell of a good guy. So if they suspend him, you know, there's plenty of things to get pissed off about, right? There's guys that are collecting a paycheck and have for a number of years that are enough to piss a lot of people off who don't have jobs. But when a guy's out there trying to say, hey, coach, listen, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this because, you know, he was yelling at a ref or something. He's looking right past him, right? And then the coach wants to take a shot at him. At that point, when you're getting a mud hole stomped in your ass, I don't think you're really thinking straight. So it's interesting. Yep. Like I said, I get it. I think Coach Shiano did the right thing so far. I would be surprised. And if Goodell has the audacity to weigh in on this, I will be even more surprised and would think it's retaliation for the fact that he just got neutered by our former commissioner, Paul Tagliabue.
Yeah, I mean, Goodell, you know, oversteps his bounds quite a bit. And it wouldn't shock me to try to get involved. I mean, at least the bus could say, okay, we're going to sit Hayward for a half. That's punishment. Okay, fine. And I guess this happened in private practice or in the locker room where no one saw it. That's a whole different animal. But this is pretty public, and I think it's image-wise, it's terrible for Shannon and his staff, especially when the team's free-falling like this. And for a captain to do that. And I don't know about you. I never had a problem with Hayward. I always thought he was a good guy. I always thought he had a hustler. He had all the right ideas. You know, he's everything you want in a football player as far as attitude, as far as hustle, you know, things of that nature. But for him to flip out like that, and, you know, you can't do that. And this guy, if nobody saw it, then so what? You know, you internally. But everybody saw this. And that's why I think something publicly has to be done. It's for another reason, just the image issue.
Yeah, and this is the interesting part, and it makes a good transition, and it almost makes it look like I know what the hell I'm doing with this stuff, to the next point that I want to bring up. There's been a lot of what I call sort of armchair psychology that goes on with Josh Freeman and things like this, where fans and media alike, and I'm not trying to throw daggers at anyone in our local media because there's not a specific thought that I'm thinking of, but I don't like Josh's demeanor coming off the field, and he doesn't look like he's really in the game. And if you notice, he shuffles left before he shuffles right when he's walking out after an interception. What exactly is going on where people have so little to do that we're focused on shit like that, and our teams have to worry so much about image on this sort of thing, right? I'm confused.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's not just Freeman. I hear people say about, I don't like ex-coach because he doesn't get fired up on the sidelines. Like, well, Tom Landry and Chuck Noll were virtual robots on the sidelines. They did pretty well. You know, so, you know, that's what I think. You get people talking like that. Oh, I got to see a guy, you know, gets excited. That was a knock on Dungy, and I didn't knock that Dungy for that at all, you know. They're just pretty different personalities, and some of the best coaches in the world were, you know, were statues, like Landry and Noll. So, but that's not unusual just for Josh. I do get people that are making this flower-fetched comments, like, you know, if Freeman would do X, Y, and Z the way he reacts, he'd be a better quarterback. Like, what?
It's amazing to see, and yet it happens every week. I don't know why it happens. And I wish I could just blame it on fans like myself and other people that listen to our show, right? But there's legitimate pseudo-professionals that will talk this bullshit, and it just drives me nuts. And then I say things like bullshit, therefore relegating me to the non-legit crew once again. My last question for you is around someone who went from sort of internet obscurity to some degrees. I remember way back when I started this and spent in the chat room, remember this, it used to be if you quoted Pro Football Talk, you got laughed out of a chat room, right?
Yeah.
That was not a source. It was a joke. And now it's become some level of legitimacy. In fact, NBC has made quite an investment in it. And they quoted anonymous sources. As a media professional, what's your take on anonymous sources and what's your take on this quote?
I got more of a problem with the guy saying it than Florio using it. I mean, whoever said it, you put your name to it. And I heard Chris Lander today on 620, and he was absolutely outraged. I mean, Ned was a former coach. He actually worked with Belichick up in Cleveland, worked with Fisher at Tennessee. And he was, I mean, literally Chris Lander was beside himself that would happen. And he also predicted the Bucs would find out who it is. And as I wrote about today, there's going to be a second purge of players. The first purge was Winslow and Brian Price, and there's Smoke a lot that's up in Washington now with another suspension, Bernard Jackson, guys like that. Well, Landry all but said there's going to be a second purge of players. In his words, not mine, there's still a mentality of losers in the Bucs locker room that have to be purged. and I was like, rule, he was really on fire, and he was outraged that a player would do that and not put his name to it. You know, he thought that was, his words, not mine, he's cutless. And, so I got more of a problem with the guy not putting his name to it than I do FOIA or using it, but I don't like using anonymous sources. I mean, the only way I would use an anonymous source is it's got to be like three or four people I definitely trust. And I'll give you an example. This wasn't a huge story, but it was a story nonetheless. When the Bucks changed their TV partner for preseason games at WTSP this year or the previous year, previous season, well, I knew three people that worked at WTSP. All three of them told me this, like, wow. Then I spoke with someone with the Bucks in the front office, I won't say who, and I said, hey, this is what I'm hearing, blah, 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 here's all the information I have, what can you tell me? And this person said, well, I can't go on the record, but what I can tell you is your information's accurate. And so I had just, like, four people telling me accurate information, and I went with it. So just one anonymous source, you're kind of hanging yourself out to dry. You're really hanging yourself out to dry. Because a lot of people criticize this formula for using that. And it's a credibility issue, so I really try to avoid those. The only way I would use an anonymous source, again, I'd have to have three or four. And three or four people who I trust. You know, like I said with that story about how the Bucks are switching the chain link to Channel 10. I trust these people. I knew these people. And when a Bucks executive told me, hey, I can't go on the record, but I can tell your information accurate, that was good enough for me. So that's when I used the unnamed sources. But I had three to begin with, and then the Bucks official was number four. So I felt comfortable with that. Just one source, and your source is the guy that called, and you don't mention his name. I understand that if you out him, the guy would never talk to you again. But why do you get information from him? What good is it? I mean, you could write a story that there's Bucks players that aren't trusting their coaches. That's one thing, but you could flammable quote like that. I hope these college students go back to college. You ought to put a name to that, or don't even use it.
Yeah, I agree. And this only happens, of course, in a tailspin. And this is the part that's humorous, right?
Yeah.
You have shit at the beginning, everything's going crazy, the sky is falling, have a nice little run in the middle. All of a sudden, people are like, wow, I really like this. This coach thing's got things going the right way. Look at Josh coming into his own. Then you have a losing streak, and oh my God, the sky's falling again. Fire Josh. Purge the locker room. There's a cancer. Adam Hayward should be strung up in the local square. You know, it's amazing to me. But
only three plays, you won't be hearing any of this stuff. You know that?
What was that?
Three plays. You take away three plays. The Bucks made three of the last four games, which were there for the Cajuns. Okay, but we take three wins out of the last four games. You don't hear anybody calling Florio and unloading on the coaches. You don't see Adam Hayward going after Brian Cox. I mean, you don't have people wanting to put Truman on the sidewalk tomorrow. Maybe this is happening. It's take away three plays if you think about it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It's a game of inches, right? And it's amazing how wide the expanse is. And I want to remind folks, we're talking to Lee from JoeBucksFan.com. Lee, I want to ask you one more question before I let you get back to your life and remind people where they can get more of your content. We do a little thing called Swords and Skulls here on the show. It's going to be tough. The sword, and then it's about the logo. You know the shtick. Sword's the good one. Skull's the bad one. You get to name one player or one coach if you feel that a coach should be called out, like the unnamed anonymous source. Who do you think deserves the sword, and who do you think deserves the skull from this week's, I will call it a game in New Orleans to be kind?
Sword is positive, skull is negative, right?
That's correct.
Okay, I got to think about the sword. But the skull, if either the guy who outed the coaches or Freeman, I'd have to give problems with Freeman, unfortunately, because he has had a terrible, terrible day.
Yep.
And I don't take any pleasure in saying that. I've been more of a defender of Freeman than I have been an anti-Freeman. Anti-Freeman bomb thrower. I guess Freeman. The sword, that's a good one. I got to say, you know what? I'm going to go with Brian Cox, only because if there's one positive on the Bucks team is the front seven. You remember what the front seven was like last year and what it is this year. And, yeah, they lost 41-0, but I don't think you can blame that on linebackers or the linemen. I guess I'd say Brian Cox, only because I think he's done one hell of a job with that front seven. So I'll give it to Brian Cox. And I'm reaching because there's not much positive to take out of that game yesterday.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting. I don't disagree with you, and I saw your write-up when you were trying to kind of deduce who they were talking about with regards to which coach should go back to college. And I think Brian's done a great job. I do think the front seven improvement. I think that the front seven improvement has been tremendous. Bob Bostic is another guy. If someone's made chicken salad out of chicken shit. It's this guy. There's no way this offensive line should be able to block anyone in the league. And it's a miracle what he's been able to do. And I for one, and this is, you know, it's always a part of the season when you hate to talk about it, you hate to say things like that, and you go, but next year, can you imagine, right? Because what you're saying is this year's screwed, right? But when you look at bringing Carl Nix and Davin Joseph back and Zuda going back to center, a little bit of depth that we've now developed, not having to worry about who the guys with no names on their jerseys are who would come in the odd event that Javon Meredith goes down and why we'd have to say a phrase like that. You know, it's pretty exciting. But, Lee, tell
us. Oh, go ahead. I didn't think about that. That's interesting. By having Meredith playing so many games, that's building depth. That's a very good point. I didn't think of it that way, but that's a hell of a point.
Well, thank you. I want you to remind folks where they can get all your stuff, Lee. I know everyone knows JoeBucksFan.com by heart, but remind folks why they should get out there every day.
Well, Steve and I try to put up a lot of content every day. We try to put up, during the season, at least 8 stories a day, during the week. I mean, every day. We do not take a day off. There'll be stories, fresh content on Christmas. There'll be fresh content on Christmas Eve. There'll be fresh content New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. There isn't a day that Joe takes a day off. His whole story. So you can change your fix of Bucks information in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the holiday season. It doesn't matter. We always have fresh content up. Try to get to us because you know every morning when you go to a Bucks fan, you got to see something different. Not just one or two stories, but a few stories.
Well, Lee, I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your schedule and coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on. I always enjoy working with you, and maybe we'll get back on the terrestrial airwaves sometime soon. And I'm sure I'll see you. I'm sure I'll see you Sunday. If you ever get a chance to get out early, we're gonna have a pretty hellacious final tailgate. We'd love to have you out there and get you a beverage.
Oh, thanks. I thought about doing that one time or another, but yeah, I'm gonna have to do that. I'm gonna have to pick you up on that.
All right, man. Thanks again, Lee. We'll let you go, and we'll talk to you guys. Talk to you probably on Sunday.
All right, anytime I can help out, I enjoyed it.
All right, take care, Lee. That's Lee DeCamper from JoeBucksFan.com. I want to thank you for joining the program. I want to go over the Swords and Skulls because we've got some in there. I'll try and filter through them and find actual Swords and Skulls instead of, you know what? No, I won't. Fuck that. I will actually just read the stuff that's in here to a certain extent. The Swords and Skulls, everyone knows the rule. But regardless of that, people broke the rule left and right. Let's talk about time to part way with Josh Freeman, says Travis Lopez. Peter Roy, Sword, Connor Barr for being... an only possible scoring player the Bucks had that was a letdown Sunday. Of course, he never got a chance to get on the field. Skull to whatever player went crying about the coaches to the media secretly. You're a professional football player. Don't be a damn crybaby. We had a double post there. Bill Matul, no studs, lots of duds. High point was when the clock hit double zeros or quad zeros. David Fernandez, sword for Tom Brady for keeping his cool and calmly leading his team back from an overwhelming deficit in the face of certain defeat. Skull to E.J. Biggers because, you know, he's terrible, which is funny because I only really saw him play poorly on one down. But that's enough to hate him. And yet my man Reno, and it was funny in the chat room because he went off on Mark Barron. And we were chatting. And a nice heated conversation, a good one, though, at Quaker Steak and Lube. And Mark Barron, I thought, had a good game this week. I don't know what his grade out was, but I'll check it before we talk about that. But then he had the PI at the end, which was just stupid. But it happens. Again, you know, even good players make bad plays. It's not unheard of. Ulises Saucedo, Sword Freeman. He was great at being bad this weekend. That takes a lot of talent and work. Skull Freeman, with that said, it's not time to give up on him yet. Clayton Jones, Skull to Freeman. Sword to Shanno. Yes, we got completely blown out, but remember what we don't have. Agent Claiborne, Carl Nix, Eric Wright, Davin Joseph, Quincy Black. I can't believe Quincy Black's in that list. Of course, there are no excuses, but when Biggers is your starting corner and your defensive linemen are undersized, mainly defensive tackles, you're going to have problems. I still have faith in both Shanno and Freeman, although this loss was very discouraging. Joseph Buttery, sword to Mike Kanan because he was the only guy that didn't give up any yards to the Saints, a skull to Freeman. This team goes the way Freeman goes, and if he is having a bad day, so goes the team. Shane Crabtree, I'm sad to say not even one sword, not one. Skull has to go to Josh. All I can say is, come on, man. Flashbacks to last year. John Pomerleau, sword. Fans who went to the game and stayed till the end. A skull to Free for obvious reasons, but I still have faith. I'll be much better moving on. It's just one game. Richard Griffin, sword to Blunt. Skull to the anonymous crybaby, who odds are suck goats on the field. Nice reference. Never heard of that, but I liked it. Aaron Lassonade, sword. What Drew Brees skewered the Bucks' terrible defense with. A skull. What the Bucks' playoff chances look like afterward. I think, based on the icon, that may be a Panther fan. Can't really tell. Oh, it's a Patriots fan. That's entertaining. I love how Patriots fans talk shit when they're playing well. And yet when they were wearing red and white, no one gave a fuck about them. Dave Megadave Pratt, sword Baron for some punishing and entertaining big hits. Skull Javon Meredith, you penalty peeners. I'm not sure what the phonetics are on that. John Pomerleau, hey Aaron, no bandwagon fans. Pomerleau calling him out as a Pats fan. That's awesome. James Peroni stole the Freeman sword. Me for watching the game all the way through and now breaking the TV. James, don't break your television. It's not your TV's fault, baby. Sean Dahl, missed the game. Kind of glad I did, but looking at the stats and reading the online wrap-ups, I'm going to skull Freeman and sword Barron. I heard he was laying people out. And, you know, I can understand why you would do that. I absolutely can. But drawing conclusions from online wrap-ups is usually dumb. Just saying. Captain Reno in the chat room says he thinks it could be Sheridan's scheme. I definitely think Sheridan's scheme has something to do with it. I think that, like we talked about with Lee on the broadcast, though, week 4, I get it. Week 15, I don't. When you have these kinds of sort of dynamic routes where receivers are having to make a read and the quarterback's having to make a read, they're going to go back and film study. And generally speaking, it's about landmarks. When you get to a landmark, you're going to make a read. Where's the safety? Is he inside the hash? Is he outside the hash? Is he squared up? Or is he, you know, based on his position to where you are on the field? And that's where the read is going to come to. And you've got to find out why guys are not on the same page. It's not rocket science, but at the same time, it makes you look like a complete dumbass. Now, if you go through the 4 interceptions, the one to Dallas Clark on the slant or the square in, I don't understand why Dallas Clark's not going after the ball. That being said, Josh didn't throw a particularly great ball. I mean, he threw it as if it was going to continue in, and Dallas didn't. Who do you blame that on? Probably on both. I don't know. Shit. We can talk about Sheridan Calico. Absolutely. Whatever you want to do. The Vincent Jackson one I've already talked about. The second one to Dallas Clark, where Dallas Clark is somehow going deep, which I still don't quite understand how that happened, and Josh tried to outthrow him and underthrew him. I just don't even know why we try that, right? I mean, I get it. You're pushing at that point. You're pressing to try and get a score. But I just have never thought of Dallas Clark as a deep threat. And then the go route to Taquan Underwood. I'm not sure what they're talking to Taquan about, but, I mean, you're trying to throw your fastest guy on the field, who I believe is Taquan Underwood, and somehow you managed to overthrow him, but you can't overthrow Dallas Clark. So by that count, I've got it 2-2. Where it's clearly two bad, bad throws by Josh Freeman. He had all day long on the Dallas Clark, though. I mean, Jesus Christ, throw it to the back pylon. Right? Let Dallas try and go get it, but worst case is he doesn't get it. And then the Taquan Underwood, you know, I don't know what the hell he was doing there. So the graphics I pulled up, if you guys care to do this, if you don't have a subscription to Pro Football Focus, I would recommend you get one. It is very good. I don't know what it cost me a year. I think it's like $30 a year, but I think it's worth it. The stats, like I said, the 76% on the short and intermediate routes, it's actually would be better than that because I actually took the behind, their passing charts go minus yards, 0 to 9 yards, and then 10 to 19, and then 20 or greater. I didn't even include the actual middle tier where Josh QB rating is 102, 111, and 94. As compared to Andrew Luck, who is 24, 79, and 65. Now, RG3 is as good, if you do an average, I would say, at 89, 129, and 103. And then Matt Ryan, once again, this is one of the few places where he has a red zone, 63, 118, and 95. So, stats are just really interesting to me. Like I said, you look at RG3, and he is through the roof. There's no doubt about it. Matt Ryan, when he's under pressure, looks just as human as Josh does. And Andrew Luck just seems to be the little engine that could. But anyway, let me get some shout-outs to the chat room and see what Calico wanted to talk about sharing for. B-Sizzle, Buck for Life, Pomerleau, Spent, B-Shuck, Adam Hogue, Captain Reno, Skip Brown, Eliza Dagger, B-Crisco, I'm not sure who B-Crisco is, but it's a good name, Indiana Buck Fan, Yikes, Calico Jack, Buckman25, Titty Bucking, nice name, I don't know who that is, but it's a good name, and then two viewers whose names we don't know. My sword and my skull is going to Josh Freeman. It was not a good game, even if I take those two interceptions away. When you look, it could be Nemo. He always hides because then he doesn't have anything to talk about Biggers this week, so he's kind of out of gas. Is it Kurt? It'd be great if it's Kurt because it's a good name. Even if you take those two interceptions away, and those interceptions in a couple of spots are potentially 14-point swings. When you look at it, because then our defense couldn't stop New Orleans, which we knew would be a risk going in, right? Drew Brees is no idiot. There are plenty of times, and let's take a look at this, actually, while I've got you fine folks here with me this evening. We'll log into the Pro Football Focus stats engine. And again, I understand Calico takes exception to these things. I actually heard today that there are some teams that actually use Pro Football Focus for their game scores, but I don't have that from a good source, so I can't quote it. Leaping Lizards, where are my Buccaneers? My beloved Buccaneers have fallen out of the dark green into the light green, but still in the top third. What was it I wanted to look at now? Oh. I was going to look at pressures. I think. Yeah, so 14 pressures. Most of them given up by DeMar Dotson and Jermon Meredith. I don't know if that's what I really went to go look at here. No, defensively, that's what I wanted to do. Defensively, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 QB hits. We got 2, 4, 6 QB hurries and 1 sack. I actually would have guessed it was a little bit higher than that because we seem to be getting in there to Drew Brees, but he has the uncanny ability to actually let go of the ball. Now, he also was getting away with some really nice intentional grounding penalties that no one seemed to give a shit about. You know that? Oh, this is the Leaping Lizards. I say that all the time. That's true. Anyway, the intentional grounding things were just kind of amazing. So, Calico, you said you wanted to talk about Sheridan. What do you want to talk about? B. Crisco, how was it so hard to get in here? We got all kinds of people to get in here. Chat roll seems to be pretty easy. I'd love to find out why it was a problem. We're still evaluating some new tools, by the way, for the broadcast. So we'll take that into consideration. No shit, I thought it was a penalty when you hit. Yeah, so Reno brings up a good point. So there were a couple of those things yesterday with Drew Brees, and admittedly, these wouldn't change the damn course of the game. That's not what we're bringing it in. So if you're running a screen and it's sniffed out, it's quite common that a quarterback will throw the ball into the ground near the runner and get away with it. But there were a couple of events when Drew Brees just flat threw the ball into the back of a lineman's head or something, and there wasn't a runner anywhere around, which was ironic. But whatever. And Sizzle, you're right. He did end up getting a sack on one of them. We were all fired up about that one. Anyway, it's 9:56. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this sort of therapy session. We talked a lot about Josh Skip. I think I explained in the chat room. The reason we did this tonight is because tomorrow night we're going to be at the Vincent Jackson charity event down at McDenton's on Howard. The Jackson in Action event is from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. It's right there on Howard Avenue across from Yard of Ale. We're going to be out there probably, I'll probably get there about 4:15 or so. A $15 donation, you get 2 drink coupons, and then you can obviously drink more and donate more if you want to. The Jackson Action Foundation, which is a 501c3 foundation, donates money towards the families of deployed troops, both active and reserve, to help take care of their kids and do things for them while they're abroad, which is tremendous. And I talked to Chris Sweeney, the manager of McDenton's and the Yard of Ale, and he has been very, very impressed by the amount of involvement that Vincent has actually in the charity. And you guys know we get involved in certain charities, and there's some charities we don't. And that's not to say that all of them we don't are not great charities, but we tend to gravitate towards the ones where the players or the people who are involved are very hands-on. When you see us working with Ryan Neese, there's no mystery as to why we work with Ryan Neese. Right? This guy is in that. He is all over that. That is not something he's just lent his name to. Ernest Graham, same thing, with One Voice. At any rate, Captain Reno, looks like you're going to be there. Another reminder is we do have our final tailgate of the year this coming Sunday for a game that there will be about 13,000 people at, and many of them will be at our tailgate. So the tailgate will still be outstanding. So make sure you get out there early. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have the KBR float out there, which is going to be great. We're going to have the DJ from Q105, I believe it is. Man, what's that DJ's name? I can never remember the name. I apologize. But it should be an amazing time. I don't know what the menu is going to be, but we'll get that from... Tailgating 32 is going to be out there as well. 70s porn music, hey, you never know. You never know. Flash is the DJ. You never know what's going to be on. B-Shuck's not coming this weekend. It's not going to be the same without you, man. But we will try and send you some pictures. By the way, if you took pictures at the event or you take pictures ever, feel free to tag away up there. If you want to try and put them up on the What the Buck wall, we'd love to have those out there as well. If you have the originals of really good pictures of our crew, a group, or whatever, with all of the people in them, send them over to us, or at least hit me up at oldschool@whatthebuck.net, and we'll give you a way that you can drop them in a Dropbox for us, because if you notice on the new webpage, there are quite a few graphics that rotate through the header. Those are graphics from you guys. So we would love to see those things come in here. So if you can get those things done, Or get them sent over to me. We will make those things into headers. So, and you don't have to send them directly to me, right? Because I know that if you're taking it with a really good camera, the file size is going to be large. So hit me up at oldschool@whatthebuck.net, and I'll figure out a way to get you access to our Dropbox. You can drop the originals in there, and our art team can do that and cut those images out. So, action, or Jackson in action tomorrow night at McDitton's, 5 o'clock. We'll be out there 5 to 7. You guys come out there, have a drink with us. Yeah, if they're copied, they need to be high-quality images, guys. That's the point to that story. There will probably be a show later this week. I would guess probably Thursday, but who the hell knows? You just don't know. Keep an eye on whatthebuck.net. Let me know. How can you miss the last home game of the year is a really good question. That is a tough one, but B-Shuck comes up for a lot of games, and we appreciate that. When we got guys who live right down the street from the stadium who can't be bothered to go to a game. So that's why I don't really lose a whole lot of... I don't feel a whole lot of... remorse for losing the fan base. But that's because I'm an asshole or a dick, depending on who you talk to. So, with that being said, I want to thank everyone for coming out there. I want to thank all of our normals. I want to thank Spent. I want to thank the Buckwild Boys for coming out this weekend, B-Sizzle, the whole crew, the KBR crew, Daryl, and the whole bunch that we had there. We had a great showing. I also would like to point out, as much as it was cool to be there with Miller, which we want to get closer to, and with the Bucks, who we always like to get close to, even though Megan wasn't there, I suspect someone dined me out and said I was going to be there, and that's probably why she didn't show up. I would like to point out that we do some events that are pretty damn impressive, and when you look at the comparison, it's not even close. So we will, I know, and we talked about that too. So we'll teach these guys how to do events. By hook or by crook. So, thanks for joining us. We'll get this podcast up here right away. We want to thank Lee the Camper from JoeBucksFan.com for being on the show as well. And we'll get something going for the Rams game, which doesn't have a whole lot of impact. And we've got Atlanta to end the year. I know a lot of you guys are going to Atlanta. We'd love to talk to you about going to Atlanta and what you guys have planned, because we've certainly done that for many years. I'm not going this year because of family vacation, but we'd love to hear about how things go up at the Georgia Dome this year. So, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see you guys tomorrow night. If we're going to see you, make sure you post it up on the Facebook event. I know Spence dropped in the chat room a couple times. We'd love to meet you and have a drink with you. So thanks for tuning in. I'm going to hit some music and give you guys something to look at. I am out of here.
Work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck to receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight, and see you next time. And most of all, go.